following is a remastered version of Triples and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, it's me, Katsu. I know. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step to, but I'm here, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got our usual crew with us. We got our full crew with us, which of course is basically everybody who's been here the last couple of weeks, and I haven't been. So anyway, Dr. Trekkie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and welcome back.
Thank you. It was unavoidable. I got caught up in a sphere. Skipper, how you doing tonight?
Confused like usual.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about confusion later today. And Woody, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Good day, everyone.
All right. So, we're gonna just dive in because while we don't have a lot of dev blogs to cover. We have a lot of talking about the things that are going on. But that being said, we do have some dev blogs. We don't have a lot of dev blogs, but we do have dev blogs, so we're going to need to cover them. We are coming to you live from the scenic Solanae Dyson Sphere, specifically Dyson Joint Command number 14. We're chilling out in Subcommander Kael's office because, as a bunch of vice admirals and lieutenant generals and all that, we weren't too happy with a sub commander telling us what to do. So we decided to crash his office. On this episode, we've got a couple of things to talk about. First off, dev blog number 20 covers the Voth Lockbox. Voth Lockbox has the Voth Bastion Flight Deck Cruiser. Has anybody, y'all have that or have seen it yet?
Nope.
Is this the big? Is this like that wedge thing that they show on the launcher?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on. No, that Opus carrier you're talking about in that feature episode. That's what you're talking about, or something else?
No. There's another slide. Anyway, the Bastion Flight Deck Cruiser. I'm pretty sure it's the one that's on the slides on the launcher that talk about releases and whatnot, the new release and the Voth box. So the Flight Deck Cruiser comes with It comes in the box. Comes with the reactive shield amplifier and the Voth heavy fighters. I haven't seen stats on those yet, but my every time I've picked up a lockbox, it's been some kind of decent, you know, ship that handles usually things that I don't specifically deal with, but other people I know have picked them up and have really enjoyed the lockbox ships. I'm a ship collector, so eventually I do pick them up. I just don't use them. Also, the Mirror Universe faction ships that also were found in the Dominion lockboxes are recycled into the Voth lockbox. So that's cool. Let's see, we're also having the ability for the Spatial Charge Launcher Universal Console. Initiates a barrage of spatial charges to be sent to the enemy target. So I guess these are like, it's like a mine. It's like a console mine or something. Also, we've got about 6 new traits. The space traits are, they're tied to the engineering fleet, science fleet, and tactical fleet abilities. The cool thing is, like, the engineering adds hull heal over time, shield adds shield heal over time, and tactical adds flight speed, turn rate, and temporary immunity to slow on all teammates affected by tactical fleet. So, these definitely look like awesome traits if you're building a, if you're building, like, an STF, a tune that's just going to handle STFs, you know, just having them there, especially if you tie in, I'm thinking especially if you tie in those characters with a battleship, with a cruiser, so that they've got the aura radii and the tactical, or in the fleet abilities. Does that sound like a good analysis, or would y'all use it in maybe a different way?
It probably is a good analysis. For me personally, I being an engineer, I really like to get hold of that orbital devastation.
Oh yeah, the ground traits. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the ground traits. For tactical, we have tactical vigilance. You and all your teammates become immune to flanking, which is kind of cool because it also stops a lot of exposes and stops a lot of criticals and stuff like that. Science has subspace manipulator. Dampening fields inflict decreased run speed and perception on people on your targets. But then there's orbital devastation. Orbital strike, which is quite possibly my favorite. Being a tactical person, orbital strike is my favorite engineering toy. And it's a lot of my engineer friends' favorite toys, too. Orbital strike turns into orbital chasing beam. And orbital chasing beam will follow enemies for a few seconds after striking and deal periodic DOT instead of being a single instant strike. So it's going to follow you around, and if you move into a group of your friends, then they're going to get affected too, and it's going to suck. So I'd imagine that that's something that... So you said you're really looking out for that, right?
Yeah. I've always seemed to find that if you got multiple enemies to target and stuff like that, they don't have to move very far, and they're like outside the particular circle, and they don't get the full blast of the orbital strike. So, you know, I'm quite keen on getting my hands up on it. You know, it almost feels like I'm actually the one who's unleashing the orbital strikes you get from doing the final boss fight in the Cure Ground. So I'm
nice.
Really keen on seeing if I can get a hold of it if lucky with one of the lockboxes.
Definitely. Other things, obviously, all lockboxes eventually drop Lobby, but also random bonus pool boosts, duty officer mini packs. There's a costume unlock for the Voth Light Soldier, which I'm guessing that's the science officer. Also, they have the Voth Anti-Proton Shock Trooper Cannon, which I've been using the Lobby Store's Voth gun they use, which is like an assault minigun kind of deal. I've been really enjoying it. There is a non-combat pet, which is the Raptor Hatchling. And then in the Lobby Store, in addition to the Advanced Obelisk, there's also the Voth Palisade Science Vessel. Which, of course, that's covered. Then they go in, they amplify, they give the actual stats for the they give the Bastion Cruiser and the Palisade stats in 21, Devlog 21. And then Devlog 22 talks about the Spires featured project number one. Feature project number one for the science, or for the Spire, is you. It's just the same as the Starbase one, in that it opens up shutters. Now the difference is that when you open up the shutters, it turns into a balcony, which I think is really cool, because like if you've looked at, I don't know whether y'all have actually looked at the sky, at the quote unquote skyline of the Dyson Sphere, which is basically looking at the interior wall of the sphere itself. It's really kind of pretty in a way, and like I like the idea of opening it up and then you having light coming in, and it's just being really cool. I guess that's my interior decorator talking. I don't know. But other than that.
I must admit, it does bring out a very nice view when you go out there, but there's one thing too, there's an invisible wall off, so if you've got tendencies to suicide your character, you can't do it.
Nice. Again, this is a $200,000, might as well be, $200,000 dilithium project. I really wish these cosmetics would drop down to like $100,000. I mean, like, really, $50,000 would be really awesome, but... like, 200,000 is just a lot of dilithium. And yeah, there's a lot you can do to get dilithium in this game, but you're paying for window dressing. In this case, you're literally paying for window dressing. So, like, I don't know why it has to be that expensive when starships aren't this expensive. You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe after all this technobabble, we spent only 5 seconds on the cute baby dinosaur in Devlog 20.
The hatchling's, you know, adorable.
It may be adorable, but I don't... You're talking to a tactical officer. I don't care about non-combat.
I can tell you'd shoot it before you'd appreciate it.
I don't care about non-combat. I'm busy trying to... I've got tons of pets. I've got tons of non-combat pets sitting in my bank. I just don't use them.
Baby dinosaur. I don't care. That's pretty cute.
I don't care if it's the king of all Londinium and runs around with a big shiny hat.
So cold.
If it's a combat pet, we'd talk. Klingons get targs. Why can't I get a velociraptor? That's all I'm saying. Instead, I get a Horta. I mean, come on. Really? I want a velociraptor. Like a combat raptor. That'll be cool.
Klingons can get the Hortas too. That's the only thing too.
See that? Klingons have all kinds of cool ways to kill people. Federation have to use phasers. What's up with that? Anyway, obviously there's been, since we're standing in the Dyson Sphere on the holodeck server, then that lets you know that Season 8 has officially been released, which we knew it would be because it was set to release on the 12th, and sure enough it did. I really like this because so far it hasn't been a patch a day kind of thing. Like, it's been a patch every couple of days because they're still debugging stuff, you know. But I really like the fact that it seems to have been kind of worked out and settled up early, you know? Have y'all had a chance to... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, it's, you know, for people who've been around for quite some time, it's no surprise that there's, you know, bugs that come with the new season launching now, and it's, you know, takes some time to get them all sorted out, but at least they really feel that they actually make a bit more of an effort to fix bugs this time around than last time.
Oh yeah. Have y'all had a chance to run Storming the Spire and the Breach yet? I think Skip had mentioned it last episode, that you'd kind of gone through the Breach, I think, the last time.
I've been through the Breach. It's certainly quite different and quite spectacular, especially with the size of the ship you're dealing with and stuff like that. It's just quite a lot of people have been saying that, especially in Caspian, especially when you come to the end, it's sort of like you want your XO to or co-pilot to go once you finish it and get out before it explodes, to go do that laugh with from Return of the Jedi.
Oh gosh, not that thing.
Yeah.
Come on, no, we do the Anakin woohoo as we fly out.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One,
yeah. So yeah. It's people say that's a bit too much Star Wars and that sort of thing there. So, but other than that, I quite enjoy it. I haven't only done it on normal, I haven't done it on elite. So, but quite nice.
Gotcha. Have y'all had a chance to do Storming the Spire at all? Because I'll be honest, I stay away from STFs.
Yeah, I've played the Storming the Spire once. It's Starfleet was invading Spire, but the Voth are as well. So it's pretty much gone by how many numbers you can, Starfleet numbers you can get into it to keep on top of the Voth and knock off the Voth when they try to escape. So, which is very strange. Right. It's still thinking. It's not exactly a Starfleet thing, but I just remember that's just, Romulans and Klingons are a part of this too, so anything could happen. But, that's another big full-on type of event.
Nice. Speaking of a Fed thing to do, the updated tutorial. I know that I actually sat down, I created a Vulcan science officer because I wanted to be incredibly cliche. And I went through the tutorial mission. I know that Woody, you'd created just to play the tutorial?
Yeah, I play just did it on a Tribble.
Okay.
Before it actually got launched and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay. So I had a chance to play it, and I, the one thing when they did when they released Legacy of Romulus, I was going to say Legacy of Romulus, and I was like, oh my gosh, tired. You can tell. When they launched Legacy of Romulus, you could tell there was a distinct. We want to create a specific kind of feel when it comes to the Romulans. We want you in a certain frame of mind. When they redid the Klingon thing, it was like. They very much took it into the Klingon vein of execute the officers, do the Klingon things, going through the Fed tutorial, I really like the story. I really like the story. I think it gives a much more clear justification for why you behave, for why you suddenly as a lieutenant. Why as a lieutenant you suddenly find yourself in command of a starship bouncing around the galaxy. Skipper, have you had a chance to play the Fed intro, or did you try that at all or no?
No, I didn't try that. I was busy with the repetition. Okay.
Gotcha. Trekkie, have you had a chance to play with the Fed intro at all?
No, I've been waiting for Black Friday for a better computer, but was interested. So, was there any Academy cliches in it, in your opinion?
I remember you were talking about it yesterday. They mentioned Boothby, but the thing is, if you go down to the Academy, there is a Boothby hologram, and he's been there.
I figured.
He's been there since launch, even. Boothby is just kind of been around as kind of a whatever. It's like a psychological program for students or whatever, kind of somebody to talk to. It starts graduation day. You're about to go on your cadet cruise, and you talk to all your friends, and there's this real kind of yay, we're all in Starfleet, go us, we're awesome kind of thing. You get up and you go on this mission. And I remember last week you had said something about, whether they did the whole Alpha Flight, not Alpha Flight, Alpha Flight's Canadian Superheroes.
Nova Squadron.
Nova Squadron. I was going to say Alpha Flight. Good job. Wrong show. But whether they did the whole Nova Squadron thing or whatnot, where they go with this is an Academy mission is, or this is a bunch of kids right out of the Academy. There's a couple of times where your officers respond in dialogue that is not not well-honed Starfleet officer talk. Like, they're much more chummy with you. They express, you know, concerns that they're just not qualified for this kind of thing. And what the dialogue is trying to do is it's trying to make you sound like you're encouraging or inspiring these people to be the officers that they're going to, you know, eventually be. I think that's what they're going with in terms of the academy feel, just that woefully unprepared kind of thing. Because during the final battle, because there's a big surprise, there's ground battles and space battles, and there's all kinds of other stuff that goes on during the episode. But there's a time where, like, a fleet of ships warp in and combat starts, like another wave hits, and combat starts, and you get a little hail off in the corner of your screen from the task force command leader. Who's like, you know, remember your training, you're Starfleet officers, you can do this. And like, and at the time, given the situation and given what is going on in the mission, I really don't want to spoil it. I want people to play it. Even if you've got 13 level 50 Fed characters, you really, I think you should just play it again just for the experience of it. But it really kind of sets that mood. Like, they're doing really well at setting that mood early on. Of the character you're playing, I think that it does really well. Sorry, that was just. Did you get the fact that I think they do really well?
I did.
All right. Well, I just make sure. But yeah, definitely good mission. The new holding's been released. The Fleet Spire Outpost. I'm gonna be honest. Like 90% of the 90% of the benefits you're gonna get from the Spire. 90% of the benefits you're going to get from the Spire directly affect the Dyson Sphere areas only. There's friction reduction in space, and there, which annoys the hell out of me because I'm so tired of moving at a crawl in this area, in the space area, and the percentage of a percent discount toward requisition on the ground, which, as much as I'm in lust with the ground. That's a big thing for me. The one thing I don't like about the Spire is the same thing I don't like about the dilithium mine, which is you have to get it to level 1 to even be able to really go hang out there. I like to go places and do things whenever I'm, especially like when I'm doing my roleplay, because I've got a couple of roleplay characters. I very rarely get on them. But I don't like the idea that I've got a Spire outpost. My fleet has a Spire outpost. I'm part of Tribbles in Ecstasy now. But we can't go there because apparently we haven't worked hard enough at it. has that been any kind of issue with Caspian? Do you have any guys that really like to just hang out in the properties?
I know that quite a lot of people like to hang out at the ground battle zone quite a lot. Yeah, before I jumped over here, quite a lot of the guys were like teaming up to go do the fight dinosaurs, basically.
Well, so, I meant the fleet holding.
Ah, fleet holding. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got numbers and stuff like that to actually get the projects going and stuff like that. You know. Currently, you know, we do have the embassy and the fleet mine already completed, done, and dusted. So we're pretty much, you know, working on getting to tier 5 with the fleet starbase and start chipping away at the Dyson Sphere.
Got it. And of course, the fleet spire contributes to space and ground of the Dyson Sphere, and the next part about the Dyson Sphere is quite possibly my favorite part of this whole season, apart from, like, I'd like to see how the missions play out and the storyline that's going to happen as a result of it. But the Dyson Sphere, the Dyson Joint Command reputation, this reputation is by just far and away the best reputation system they've had so far. I think all of the reputations need to go to that. Skipper, I know you said just a second ago you were looking at the rep system. Would that be your analysis as well, that we need to see the old reputations turn into something closer to this reputation?
Yeah, the progression is pretty good, nice. And also the fact that it can cross over to the other part of your account.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, they specifically addressed that they wanted to go in and they wanted to design the joint command reputation with player feedback and quality of life improvements in mind. And in my mind, they exceeded, like, in spades. First off, completing tier one of the joint Dyson command rep connects the Dyson sphere to your transwarp network, which I think is amazing. Also, they went in and did the same thing with Defera. Yes, they did the same thing with Defera. If you're tier one Omega, you can immediately use the transwarp network to go directly to Defera, which I think is even cool. Which I think is cool too, especially if you're doing nothing but bouncing around rep farming. There are three assets that are acquired now for the reputation. One is basically, the way I compare it is, one is a long haul rep item, one's a daily only kind of rep item, and the other one is a kind of rare thing that's going to be used for bigger projects later on. Your long haul rep item is the joint command sphere mark. It's used in an hour long project that generates about 150 XP, but you can, like I said, do it every hour. So if you're going to be on for a while, you can crank XP really fast. You can crank that rep up pretty quick. The other one is your joint command commendation, which you get a commendation for completing the daily space mission every week or every day. Also, there is a thing that if you've acquired enough sphere marks, and this is something for burst players, the way they described it, where you crank out 350 marks, you can turn it in for a very quick project that gives you a stack of 5 commendations. The commendations are on a 20-hour rotation, but if you've got a stack of 5 of them, you can do like 1 8-hour sit on grinding marks, and then your next week or so, all you have to do is just pop in, start the 20-hour project, come back the next day, start the 20-hour project, and go from there. So I think it's a really cool way to let you tailor make how you advance your rep. I think it's the other thing that I like is that Skipper, you notice that I don't have to find energy or major regenerators or large shield batteries anymore. It's just XP and these marks. It's XP, energy credits, and these marks, right?
Yeah, the command ones too.
Yeah, yeah. See, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not go out and pick up these ridiculous commodities that's like 10 packs at 400 a piece or whatever. You know, I mean, you're still going to turn over energy credits, but you're not bogging down because you can't find enough large hypos.
Yep, and later on, they start going into the cybernetic parts, like the Omega parts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the thing that the other thing that I dig about this is that they've gotten rid of the tech research projects that put items into the store. Like, once you clear the tier, the items are immediately put into the store. They're automatically accessible once the tier has been unlocked. And also, with the Dyson rep, everything, every weapon, gear, console, whatever, is Mark 12 very rare. And it's only... You unlock progressively more hardcore versions, but it's still Mark 12 very rare. So, unlike Omega Force, where you have the Omega Force Mark 10 armor, and then the Mark 11 armor, and then the Mark 12 armor, that's just like, okay, at this level, you are going to unlock the Mark 12 armor. At this level, you're going to unlock the Mark 12 shield. At this level, you're going to unlock the Mark 12 whatever. It would be that if Omega Force were following this pattern. And it's not locked behind tiers 4 and 5, so you have to kind of drag your way through the progression. You're constantly being rewarded for completing these rep tiers, which I'm a big fan of. So, Woody, have you had a chance to play with the rep system? I mean, I know just kind of shoot through it, but
yeah, not in a big way. I'm just going to take this one easy. I'm not going to rush through it because I know it's not going to take. If I go hard with it, it's not going to take long to get me to get it all done. So I'm sort of like just going to be taking it easy with this one. Probably about the only character I can really go hard with is my Fed at the moment. My Klingon. It's more taking it easy and more concentrating in Fleet Marks to keep projects on the Klingon side going. And Romulan is I'm wanting to get all a Omega gear done first, all the Mako gear, which I'm not terribly far away from finishing before I wanted to start getting into the new reputation. So I'm just going to take it easy because, you know, the sounds of it, this could easily be done very, very quickly. The looks of it, it could easily be done in 6 weeks. Yeah, then we're going to be twiddling our thumbs again. So, you know, because it's one thing I've found with all of this is they've done quite a lot of content, but only for one thing. Especially with the battle zones, you know, they gave an alternative for the PvE with the breach and the other PvEQ event where you can get fleet marks as well. But so like once this is all, you know, the reputation is all done, you know, I don't think many people are going to be hanging out, you know, here where we are at the moment, the command center. So, you know, it's all like, what sort of ending is this actually coming to?
So I heard a rumor kicking around around the Caspian locker rooms, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. You have not, in fact, maxed Dyson rep already, right? I mean, we heard the rumor that you went on a binge and like suddenly you're now tier 5 and you're just hiding it from everybody.
No. Well, quite honestly, I think some people just didn't think ahead of themselves of this rumor. especially since it's supposed to be like 2,500 per day, and it's only been day 4 or 5 from when the season launched. Have a good think about the mathematics there.
Oh, first off, I don't deal with math, and second off, I think you're fibbing. I think this is some dirty Section 31 nonsense.
It's still like, you know, like I said, some people just didn't think ahead of themselves, and, you know, I don't do maths very much as well, and I know for a simple fact that the sums don't add up there.
All right, well, I just wanted to make sure, because, you know, if you pulled a fast one on me, then you might not be safe in a dark alley, Klingon or not, is all I'm saying. All right.
Yeah, well, if I even knew a hack, would you still think I'd be sitting here talking with you?
You'd be like, nah, man, I'm hanging out, living the life.
No, probably good account band, more like it.
Right. The Dyson Sphere itself. 2 zones, technically 3 zones, but it technically just all breaks down into 2 major zones. There's Dyson Space and Dyson Ground. The Space Zone. So, Skipper, buddy old pal.
Yeah.
Would you like to discuss how awesome Dyson Space is, or would you like to defer to the rest of the group?
I think the space part, some areas are not. You remember how you used to need the guideline to find something?
Yeah.
You wish it was in space. For some of the things. I have a couple of things I can't find out where they are, or they might be bugged.
Gotcha. I'll be honest, I've had a very similar experience with the space arenas. The Dyson arenas. Because like missions will pop up and disappear. Not that they're glitched, it's just that like they'll be available for a certain period of time, and then they'll go away.
5 minutes.
Yeah, 5 minutes. They're like red alerts, but there's a lot of them, as well as there being a lot of missions that are kind of like, you fly into an area, and it's like, hey, by the way, we noticed you're over here. Can you go do this thing for us? Really, I get the impression that this is for more of a casual play. Like, if you're in an area when something happens, great. If you're not, whatever. It's not really, like, super critical, grind yourself to death kind of thing, because your mission may run off, or you may have to defend a ship and just really not digging it, so you just kind of ignore it and let that pass. It's definitely a place that I've found. I try to be a completionist in a lot of games I play. And I found that I'm going to drive myself crazy playing in space, in Dyson space, because I want to do all the things, but the problem is there's so much to do that you quickly find yourself like with just too much going on. Has that been other people's kind of sense of the space area?
Well, I have found the dock missions kind of nice because some of them give the Dyson sphere marks.
Well, yeah. What I mean is that, like, just the kind of all over the place nature of the missions. Has that gotten to you, or is that something that you're kind of comfortable with?
If I can read the map and find it, I'm all right with it because that's the earlier fetch and go here and so forth. Remember, Egg at the center of the starbase with the first Memory Alpha mission. It's technically the same thing for some of them, but it depends on the three locations.
Woody, Trekkie, do you have any insights?
I remember that Memory Alpha mission. I hate that crap. It's just running and running and running. But I mean, you know, Skipper's right. If you can find it, it's not so terrible. But especially when you start getting sleepy and you start running into walls and stuff. But if that's what it's like, I wouldn't love those missions too much.
No. And then we covered this about, 3 weeks ago. There's Dyson Ground. If people remember back about 3 weeks ago, we talked about Dyson, about the ground missions 3 or 4 weeks ago, because there was also the data network launch, which, you know, hi to y'all on the data network. But the ground mission is a 21 zone persistent map. And I say persistent because it's going to stay that way until you either take the map or the map takes you. What I like about it is that, like I said, it is that persistent thing. The game I came from, because I played MMOs for a while, took a break for a while, came back to MMOs. The game I came back from to MMOs from is PlanetSide 2. PlanetSide 2 is persistent map like crazy, and it's tons of PvP, and it's run gun, take a zone, move to the next zone kind of deal. That being said, this is as close to that style of play as you're gonna find in STO, and it's a very intuitive. The way I like it is that each area, each map area, has a different kind of mission you have to complete. Some of them are kind of King of the Hill style, where you stand in the center and you just fend off lizard, you know, reptile men and armored dinosaurs and giant power armor monstrosities, and yay, you win the game. Some of them, power generators, you're moving a little power cell across a track, and you have to defend the power cell and make sure the Voth don't get to it and reverse the direction of the track. It's really really tricky. The other thing that I like about it is that the waves are scaled to the number of people on the platform. So what I mean by that is that if, like, if just you are rolling around, then the number of troops you're going to get running at you, trying to kill you, is equivalent to you and your two guys. If other people walk into that zone and start fighting as well, then the next waves become progressively bigger and meaner. So the incentive, and then if that person leaves the zone, then the next wave becomes lighter. Each zone is kind of paying attention to the people that are in it to give you a competitive experience, no matter whether it's just you or whether you're running through with a full 15-man kill team, which makes me happy because that means that I'm never going to not be challenged in these missions. The other thing is once you take 18 of the 21 territories, the big mega armor dinos of doom show up, and you have to drop those. Depending on each of those, you get awesome gear, dilithium, and marks. There are two good things, and then a lot of bad things I've been noticing. The good thing is each zone is worth 60 dilithium and 10 marks per flip. That is crazy good, being as it only takes maybe a couple of minutes to complete each combat zone. If you clear all the zones, then obviously take 18, multiply it by 60, multiply it by 10, you figured out how much dilithium and marks you receive respectively. At that point, 3-minute cooldown, then the entire map flips red hostile again, and you have to go retake the map again. If you're a kind of person that likes these protracted battle kind of situations, this is going to be the map for you. I really, really, really want this to be... I really want Defera to look like this. I think that Defera would benefit from it, and I think that it would make fighting for Omega Marks that much better. That being said, there's one big problem I have with it, and I don't know whether... Woody, I don't know whether you've experienced this or not, but command credit sweepers. When you clear a zone, command credits pop up, and you collect up all the command credits, and you use those to call in high-power reinforcements. The problem that I have seen, particularly when there's pug groups on the map, because you can get 4 or 5-man teams, like, say, Caspian all decides to create 4 or 5-man teams all in one instance, and then there's no one but Caspian on the map. But if you have any pickup guys, I've seen it happen where people will kind of hang on the edge of the map, or hang on the edge of the zone, and as soon as the area flips, they run in and just collect up as many of these credits as they can, and then run away. Like, they did nothing to contribute, they did nothing to help you, they're solely out there to pick up command credits. Which I understand, sometimes you don't particularly care to have the command credits, but there are some specific missions that require them. Sorry, what do you
think? It's pretty much equivalent of AFK as in STS, basically. Even though we're going to discuss it later.
Oh yeah,
that's been changed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the AFK situation has completely changed. But the thing is, like, I've been in situations where, and I'm the kind of, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm the kind of guy that if I come up just as a fight is finishing, and I've put in my time, I've thrown a grenade, deployed some troops, done some stuff, then I'm going to pick up a couple of them. I'm not really going to jump in and try and steal all of them. Now, that being said, if you go ahead and leave the zone and you just leave them sitting on the floor, I'm going to pick them up. But I'm not going to sit here and try and grab for more command credits than I'm due. That's me. Maybe I'm just overly fair. But the thing is, they pop out. The problem is, the first time I saw them, I'm like, what the heck is it? It's like candy. And speaking of the other candy, like, killing certain people will drop ground buffs. And the ground buffs are pretty sweet. I always hunt for the resistance and defense buffs as often as I can, because I tend to run into the middle of fights and kill and die a lot. So
yeah, that running one's pretty handy as well.
That running one's really nice. The thing is, like, all the benefits are really good, and they're timely, and they're really something that'll help you in the field do what you do best. Like, I know for me, my three-man team is myself as a tactical, and I'm bringing down my two bunker engineers. Do you have a kind of a go team you usually use, Woody?
I'm going around all right with just an engineer and a science. You know, so we've got some shield heals and health heals that comes along with you. So, you know, I'm doing pretty well. We're just doing that.
Have you noticed that these Voth, like, rip shields apart like they're nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is this, like, my two bridge officers have Mark 12 fleet shields, personal shields. But, and I'm using the Dominion set on my guy, because I like it suddenly to kick the shroud and dump aggro off me. So I'm a big fan of it. But like even the really high powered personal shields are just getting torn apart. So I might actually try a science officer, because I've been using my engineers, because most of these missions are kind of fortified emplacement type missions on the ground. So like usually I'll just take a corner and have my guys set up and just start railing with artillery and turrets. But definitely I might try an engineer. I might try a science officer. Other than that, each zone of course has its own kind of map and layout. So that's definitely something to look forward to. I don't want to spoil too much, because I don't want people's experience of it to be kind of rotten, or kind of you go in expecting a certain thing and then I lied to you.
Yeah, probably the only other real negative thing I find with it is just the awkwardness of just wanting to leave and get back to Tal Dawa sector block. Here we are in the command center, and the only option to get out is to leave, get back on your ship, fly over to the combat zone. That's the only place you can leave from to get back to Tal Dawa sector block. So if someone wants just to go over to the, of course it will change when you hit tier two and you get the shuttle run, hopefully. I didn't see if that's available yet, but it's just, just looking at it, it's just one big hassle just to try and get back to Tal Dawa sector. When I did the triple testing, there was, a Voth outside the water fountain that is deep. Click on him and go in, then exit back out again. But second time I came around and have a look at some of the atmosphere space battles and stuff like that, I just wanted to get out and I just could not get out. And when's it gone live here, it hasn't really changed very much, and so, if you just want to go to, just go to do ground and stuff like that, you have to fly to the transport gate at Tal Dawa, fly through the friendly zone, then fly through the battle zone to get to the ground, So.
The other way to get to ground is to come here to the Joint Command Center and talk to the veteran who moves you there. And then, but the thing is, there's no way to go to talk to the veteran to get back here. And the reason I mentioned that, because that drives me crazy. I'm glad you mentioned it, because the thing is, thankfully on my Klingon I've unlocked tier one. I'm almost done with my tier one on my Fedga on this Fed. One of the things that I do is that you can transwarp to the sphere with tier one rep. So I transwarp to the sphere, beam into Joint Command, talk to the veteran who sends me to the battle zone. If I go to leave the battle zone, I beam up into contested space. And then I have to turn around, fly back to the Allied zone to get back to Joint Command. And the problem is, mail and the bank are here at Joint Command. But your vendor is down. You're like, a couple of your vendors are down on ground. So it's like, everything is not in the same place, and I think that's a big problem of efficiency, which to be me, I mean, in my mind, if this were a military camp, you'd have some kind of efficiency going on. You don't have a lot of space, you don't have a lot of time, so you're going to set things up the way they work. That'd be my concern, as kind of an awesome. It's kind of in parentheses there. It's in quotes there. The Solanae Tribble. I'm really kind of not digging Tribbles, especially... Well, correction, let me back up. I have the Fleet Tribble, the Nakara Tribble, and now the Dyson Sphere Tribble. I use the Fleet Tribble and the Nakara Tribble because I don't really deal with Fleet missions and Nakara missions all that much, although I should. The Solanae Tribble is, a Dyson mark an hour, and it adds to anti-proton resistance, which is good because the Voth I'll use anti-proton. It's like I wait an hour for one mark when inside of about 4 minutes I can get 10 marks and 60 to lithium. And I don't really see a good return on investment for it clogging up a slot, especially a slot where they're going to rip apart your shields and tear down your health. And especially some of these, the big battle mechs. I call them battle mechs. They're the you know, like the Cephalotron Death Mech Mark IV or whatever. Like, he gets there and he kicks up an immunity for so many seconds. It's just like, great. Good job. And then he just sits there and rips you apart while you can't hit him or you can't hurt him. I think that as good a neat toy as the Tribble is, I don't really know that it's practical down on the ground, which most of these Tribbles aren't really practical. Has that been your experience, or have you even bothered with the Tribble at all?
I've got it. Usually with all the Tribbles that you get from Tribble testing and whatnot, I'm usually just bundle them all up together and just pan them all once an hour. So that's how I, you know, do it all, and you know, just use the ID Tribble to for combat and whatnot.
Gotcha. Okay.
Pretty much what you're doing now.
What I did right then, mainly to avoid getting kicked for inactivity. For STFs though, STFs they added a crazy penalty for AFK. I unfortunately didn't put in the show notes, but can one of y'all run down the penalties for AFK?
I haven't really read it myself. I only just got told about this. It's pretty much based on how much involvement you were in the STF. If you're going to be sitting there AFK for a long time, actually, you know, definitely got nothing for it. And pretty much based on how much damage and how much you can contribute to the actual match. I don't know what the minimum is. Tell the truth, I hope that they don't tell us what the minimum damage output you need to do to not be penalized for being AFK, because I know people will probably want to go out there and try and exploit it. I certainly welcome this, because just in the last week or so, I've you know, run some STFs and had people AFK in them, and you know, I had to report to GM to them about it and stuff like that. But it's just something on the funny side. I don't think you better not do this anymore, because it might actually make them not being penalized or AFK any now. But one time I had an AFK in the kinema where we had to fight Denatra at the end. We had an AFK in the match, which was very disappointing, because you know, we needed the extra firepower to get the optional done. We, you know, failed the optional. But one guy said, let's get Denatra over and kill the AFK-er. So we slowly guided Denatra over to where the AFK, you know, plus we reported this particular player. And so we guided Denatra over to the AFK player, and you know, we're all hovering over the top of the AFK player. Denatra disappeared and came up in behind us to fire the at their AOE weapon, and hit the target, right, because he one-shotted the AFK player. We just all have a little
Taylor off that was bad.
Yeah, so it must have been pretty bad, because you know, this was like Kinema Elite, and this person was actually in the obelisk carrier that you get from doing the new feature episode. So at the end of the day, I was, you know, have a good laugh out of it. So at least we've got something to enjoy out of it.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, actually, there's one thing. I'm bouncing over to the STO site to pull it up right now. I want to get the exact time figure, because there's something that they've done. The time penalty that they've added to the AFK is, to me, I think, one of the best parts of it.
Yeah,
I'm going to the release notes right now.
Yeah, what I remember is they don't get the reward and also get a 2-hour time penalty, so they won't be able to play any sort of PvE matches for 2 hours.
AFK sponsorship. Here we go. Or not AFK, AFK sponsorship. I want to sponsor this person to be AFK. Okay, they get 0 award for the fleet for the event. 2-hour cooldown on the ability to queue for an event, and there's a list of all the normal and elites. Basically, it's every it's every STF and fleet at every fleet and STF thing. It's just, you know, if you are changes implemented with the following queued events in normal and elite modes where applicable, and it's basically everything, including the crystalline cataclysm. I mean, like, if they bring out the crystalline thing again, you're kind of screwed. If you AFK even once, you're sitting out for 2 hours. So definitely something to kind of keep up, I guess. Oh yeah, there's that other thing I wanted to talk about. The 300-day award, the EV suit. If you're a lifer or a gold, it's a lifer or a 300-day gold. You can pick up a new EV suit, which looks suspiciously like the cosmetic suits that you spend 550 Zen for, or 700 Zen, I don't remember. But
700.
But they've got actually some decent stats. The only environmental suit I've seen that's better is the crystalline, the upgraded crystalline suit. Like, I think that one's statistically better because I have it and I compared it. But most armored suits are going to be a little less interesting than these EVs, which also means that if you're grabbing these, if you're a lifer and you have these EVs going into the 2800, the Dominion missions, then, like, you're going to have a distinct advantage, which I'm a big fan of, having distinct advantages in situations where I normally wouldn't. Other than that, like, I know today's a lot of intel and whatnot, but season 8, the biggest thing about season 8, and I think Skipper, I think Woody, I think Trekkie can all kind of agree, season 8, it really kind of brings us closer to finding out about the Sphere Builders and about the Iconians, which, since they, like, in the seasons 1 through 4, they were like, Fed versus Klingon, bad, and then they were like, okay, now the Borg are back, and Borg, bad. Now they're, like, creating these other enemies for us to fight kind of deal. Or they're showing us all of the bad stuff in the galaxy. So I think that the good thing is this kind of fills in the gaps on an enemy that they've been hinting at since the very beginning of the game. And I think that it helps us to develop, I think, the correct amount of hatred for this group that we have to deal with going forward. Also, Skipper and I came across this today. Tier 1 Dyson stuff. The Dyson mission is following the same kind of format that the New Romulus stuff does. New Romulus reputation, in that there's actually a storyline that unlocks at different tiers. Interesting stuff. That's what I'm going to say. Would you agree, Skipper?
Yep.
I think there's a lot of foreshadowing, and I think there's a lot of interesting things to come. So a lot of stuff we've covered, a lot of mostly crunchy meaty facts. We didn't really get a chance to delve into the fluff and the goofiness of our fandom, which I think we will now that the rush of season 8 is over and we're able to kind of delve into it and explore a little bit. I think we'll return to a little bit more of the Trek fandom and a little less of the crunch, 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 mechanics. So, does anybody have anything before we sign off? I've been talking pretty much nonstop for the hour. I'm sorry about
have
that.
Have you found the tailor on the thing yet, the spire?
There is not a tailor on the spire, and I don't know
yes,
why
it
that.
Is.
There is? Where?
I found a room.
All right, that's it. I'm leaving. Bye. No kidding. I'm gonna go find this tailor as soon as we're done here, because. Like, I just want to know where this guy is. Sorry, Woody, you were about to say something.
I was about to say, you're just making up for not being here last week with all the talking you're doing.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Was there anything, any, like, interesting Trek stuff we've missed? Trekkie?
You mean news stuff?
Sure. Was there anything just offhand that you can remember?
It's good that you had an orgasmic Season 8 review, because there hasn't been much. I mean, there's just been little bits here about how people think the budget of Star Trek 3 and the JJ verse is going to be smaller, and, you know, on best lists of, like, exploding starships or something. There wasn't really much news, so I think the timing was perfect.
Excellent. Note to self, my timing for running my mouth is perfect.
Well, don't go too far with that.
Well, no, no.
Also, I just eased up on the Foundry at the moment with the season launches to just make sure everything's fit up with this. But since the Foundry's back up and running in good fashion, I'll get back into doing some Foundry reviews.
Yes, definitely. If you if you've got Foundry missions, we're gonna get back. Like I said, we're gonna get back into the swing of things here. So if you're getting into, you know, if you're a Foundry person, or if you're interested in a mission that hasn't been a spotlight mission, if you feel like it really needs to be addressed or mentioned, then definitely let us know so that we can review it. We can talk about it because we like to talk about this game. Maybe sometimes not in the most positive, uplifting, we love perfect world light, but we always like to talk about this game because we all, you know, regardless of any of our particular preferences, STFs, PVEs, whatever, we all enjoy this game, and we want to talk about it and make sure that everybody has the exposure to it that that we can. So that's our show, folks. One personal note I just want to mention. I kind of had a personal family situation last week, and I want to especially thank Woody Valley for stepping up and getting with the station's ownership and saying, okay, we just got word Katsu's not going to be able to make it. I'm going to step up. What can I do to help out? We don't thank a lot of our guys that sit in the background and do the legwork. So I want to personally thank you, Woody, for stepping up and covering my ass while I had to handle my stuff around the house. So I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's no problem. I like to think that we work as a team. So
right now, don't get me wrong, you're Klingon. I'd hug you, man, but you kind of smell. So. All right. So that being said, awkward. Sorry. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap this show. We will see you next week. What I will say is this. Next week we'll be here. I have to double check on the status of our Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. I know that some members of our crew don't necessarily have a problem because they're not necessarily going to worship, or not worship Thanksgiving. They're not going to celebrate Thanksgiving like we do here in the States. Others of us are going to be off on rabid sales and stuffing our face with tryptophan. So we will, next week, we will tell you about the status of our Thanksgiving episode. Also, we will ideally have some interesting stuff to cover and to talk about as we go deeper into the mystery of the Sphere Builders. Dun, dun, dun. So, that being said, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Tribbles and Ecstasy. We hope you watch both this show and any of the other shows that Holosuite Media has going on. We have a number of shows that cater to a number of different geek genres. So, definitely give holosuitemedia.com a check. You know, look at it, see if there's any of our other shows that jump out at you, and we will see you next week. Say goodbye, Gracie.
Goodbye, Gracie.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of Tribbles and Ecstasy, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Tribbles and XTC. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thetribblesandecstasy@gmail.com, the only place where Tribbles and Klingons are friends.